I know it's been a while since we preached like this, y'all. It was a pandemic experiment, so you stick with us, okay? We're going to try this a couple times this summer. We thought today was appropriate because we are talking about what it means to follow God on the journey and to know that we are not alone. When you think of the sounds of everyday work, what do you think of? When you think of an office worker typing away, or farm workers picking fruit in the fields, or a skilled laborer finishing this last carpentry job, what can you hear? Can you hear the music? My very first job was counting nuts and bolts in the back of a hot Florida warehouse all summer. And I remember distinctly it was a family business, okay? It wasn't like a child labor thing. Y'all, don't worry. I think they paid me $5 an hour and made me save half of it. So I'm in the back of this warehouse. It's hot. It doesn't smell great. I'm just counting things over and over, but I will never forget the feeling of that warehouse in the summer because it was the year that Faith Hill and Tim McGraw's hit It's Your Love played on the radio station 10 times a day. In fact, I don't know about you, but when I think of most of the jobs that I've had, there's kind of a soundtrack, like the music that was playing or the music I was kind of humming under my breath or the things that kind of shaped that particular period of time, that day in, day out background. Music has played an incredible role in the life of many folks trying to make it from Monday to Tuesday and from Tuesday to Wednesday, trying to make it the next step on the journey. Folks in the fields and on the line, folks walking in the civil rights movement, folks bored every afternoon, folks who are trying to move forward have often found a way for music to pull us up just enough to take the next step. Songs and poetry have kept us going in the middle of the journey. That is what we're talking about today in the Psalms. The music and the poetry of the journey, walking with both hope and endurance. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of the beginning and the middle and the end. Give us eyes to see the glimmer of your light, no matter how far off it may appear sometimes. Give us echoes of your call, no matter how long ago it may have felt. And give us strength for the journey as we lean on you and each other in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so this summer we've been in a journey through the Psalms. Over the last 4 weeks, we've talked about a bunch of different types of songs, Psalms, and there's fancy names for them, but if you have forgotten, please do not be worried. We talked about Psalms of praise, which are obviously Psalms of joy and expectation. We've talked about Psalms of lament, which are the prayers that you can barely eke out on the worst days. We've talked about psalms of imprecation, which is like, God, you better smite those people because I've had it. And we talked about psalms of invocation, where we're saying, God, I need you to show up today because I'm kind of a hot mess and I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen next. You may feel like, wow, we barely scratched the surface of psalms. And I want you to hear, that's true. And that's something really cool about the Bible. You can read your whole life in Scripture and find new ways to be surprised, new ways that God is inviting you to participate in the work of God's people. And so here, as we study Scripture and as we continue to walk through the Psalms, today we find ourselves talking about a journey. What do we do on Tuesdays? What do we do between Christmas and Easter when it's not the best day and it's not the worst day and frankly it feels a little mundane? What do we do when we're weary? When we can't see the starting line or the finish line yet? What do we do when the life of faith can feel unremarkable? We are very lucky, y'all, because the Bible is full of people. I know we hear these like big burning bush stories and we see these miracles, but when you read the kind of day in, day out, the journey of people between the big stories, you hear that Scripture is full of people making it through to the next day. The Israelites were in the desert for 40 years. So occasionally when I get a little whiny and I'm like, God, it's been 3 months I've been praying for this, I am reminded that people who have gone before me have waited a lot longer than I have. It's one of the things that makes the Jewish faith utterly, really remarkable is a lot of the other contemporary faiths of the time when they lost their place or they lost their markers, or they lost a lot of what had marked history in a particular geography, early Judaism did not. It didn't fade away because the Israelites got very good at following the Lord en route, at remembering the Lord on the run. These many journeys that we read about in the Old Testament trained them for preserving their faith and their relationships with God in the long haul. Now, of course, they had bumps. We know about those bumps, right? But the practice of continuing and taking the next step can be helpful for us. We also hear in Scripture about the disciples wandering around with Jesus through the countryside and from one place to the other. One thing I love about the Gospels is that you notice Jesus is on the move so much that if you stay still too long, you might have lost him. Jesus is always way out ahead of us. And then we hear in Paul's letters, all of his journeys, he loves to recount. Paul loves to tell you all the places he's been and all the hardships that have happened along the way. And a lot of his marking in his writings is him saying, like, well, I was going here, and then I got rerouted, and then I was going here, and I meant to go here, but whoops, I had to go another way. The reality of a life of faith and the reality that we see in the Psalms is that God is with us at the ups and downs, with us on the best and worst days, and when the miles keep passing, and when we're just wondering what to do next. This is the gift of the Psalms. They invite us to live not only with hope, but also with endurance.
So today we find ourselves in a specific part of the Psalms. We talked about that in week one. The Psalms have different sections, and you notice that Psalm 124 and 131 are very close together, where we've had some very spread out Psalms. These are very close together. That's because these Psalms are part of the book of Psalms. There's 14 Psalms called the Songs of Ascents, and ascents meaning like you're ascending somewhere. And most scholars believe that these Psalms were songs that people used on their own journey. The songs of ascents, the ascents, the journey that they're talking about is likely to be believed when people would travel to and from Jerusalem from the three major festivals of the year, which would have been Passover, the Festival of Weeks, and the Festival of Tabernacles. And there's some, that's not on the quiz, so don't worry about that. But when people were journeying, there were large groups of people coming to and from Jerusalem for these cultural Jewish festivals, and these songs were songs that they carried with them both to and from. There's a couple of things we need to note about the Songs of Ascents. One, they're shorter. You heard one Psalm 131, it was like four verses, and Psalm 124 was also fairly short, and scholars believe that was because they were sung, they were memorized, they were carried in the hearts of the people traveling. The other thing that they note about the Song of Ascents is that there's different voices involved. Whereas a lot of the Psalms may be an individual crying out to God, some of the Songs of Ascents are corporate prayers. They're sometimes almost call and responses, again, indicative of this idea that there may be a song leader and then a chorus responding to them. So we see that these are a different type of psalm inside the book of Psalms. This is Psalm 120 to 134. And one of the things that the scholars believe is that these psalms were kind of these mini snapshots of the whole biblical story. If you're traveling on the road and you're going up to Jerusalem, you want to remind yourself what it is that you're making this large journey for. You want to remind yourself what it is that God is all about. You want to remind yourself of the story of who God is and who God is calling you to be. And one of the aspects of the psalms that they remind us that we already know how the story ends. In other words, if we use this journeying language, we already know our ultimate destination. We know that we are moving towards God. There's this really great image of Scripture that it goes from garden to garden, right? We start in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, and we hear language in John's Revelation that there's a garden in Revelation where God is making all things new, where God is reforming all things. So this journey of faith starts in a garden and ends in a garden. But as to Megan's question, what do we do in the middle? We know where we started from and we know where we're going. We know that God is our bookends. And we hear language in Psalm 124 that reminds us of that. I love the way that the psalmist words it in Psalm 124. They say, if the Lord had not been on our side, and they say that almost every single verse, if the Lord had not been on our side, then the sea would have swallowed us up. Mm. If the Lord would have not been on our side, then we would have given up a long time ago. In other words, if God had not been with us, we wouldn't even be this far on the journey to begin with. It's a reminder that God has been on the journey with us, God is journeying with us, and that, like Megan reminded us, God is always out in front of us, guiding our next steps of the journey. In Psalm 124, we hear this call to look backwards, but we look backwards in order to look forward. We remind ourselves of the story of the goodness and the faithfulness of God in order to see where we are going. And when we know where we are going, friends, we can have hope. Hope that we have a destination. Hope that God has us in his hands. Hope that we will still have enough in our tanks to make it to the final goal. We can remember that the stories lift our hearts, remind us of who God is and the promises that God gives us. We know where we are going. And again, we hold that precious, fragile, sometimes irrational gift of hope. But how do we hope in our final destination and still have enough endurance for the journey for today?
This is what we get from Psalm 131 and really Psalm 132. So 130 also. There's two psalms that are right next to each other, and they're really short, and they, if we heard them in Hebrew, it would sound more like a song, but they're kind of partners. They're little short kind of quips that you could sing along with. 130 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for there is steadfast love. And 131 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. There's this hope that's bringing them forward, and this reminder of having enough for the journey. 130 says, Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. They are songs of hope and cries for help and the need for endurance. Now, I wonder if you heard in the psalm that we read the imagery of the woman walking with their kids, women walking with their kids in tow, and people whose hearts aren't lifted too high. We heard that image in 131. These help us to see the tunes that are hummed by everyday people of faith, waiting and working and wondering and wandering and pushing forward. That image of being like a weaned child. Now, I have to tell you, this hit home for me because as a mama of an 18-month-old, I still remember the very vivid shrieks of a child who is still requiring milk at all hours of the day. That new baby life for me is marked by that sudden and, oh my goodness, this is threat level red, we must eat right now sort of shriek. In the grocery store, I still hear kids do that, and all the muscles in my body tense up because I'm like, somebody get that kid some milk right now. The psalmist says, I'm like a weaned child. I'm like a kid who knows that there is enough snack in the bag, and we've made it through nap time and rumbly tummies before. We've got some history. I'm trying to quiet my heart and to trust you, the psalmist is communicating. They show us that we can travel with an embedded sense of trust that even if the next step isn't right in front of us, we have walked before. We have been carried before. We know the comfort of the Lord, and we know we are going somewhere. We hear that we get enough bread for the journey. Now, y'all know the Israelites wandering around. They didn't get enough bread for tomorrow, and if they tried to gather up more than they needed today, it rotted. But what we know in the Psalms and we're reminded of is that God will give us enough bread for the journey. The next thing that we get in this kind of wisdom from folks who've been traveling for a long time is a sense of abiding trust in trying to do the next right thing. We hear this language of waiting, this language of hoping. We hear this language of trying to keep my pride in check, right? Like, I'm trying to be as humble as I can, Lord Jesus, and I know you're going to carry me. How do I, as a person who is trying to trust the Lord, who has seen the Lord work before, how do I take my next step? And we hear the Israelites in these Psalms trying to take do the next right thing. How do we do the next right thing? That's really what we're being invited to do. Without all of the light ahead of us, without all of the steps clear, we are invited to remember we have bread for the journey, and our job is to humble ourselves and just do the next right thing.
The last thing we can glean from the Psalms this morning is that we never have to go alone. That we always have one another, we always have a travel companion on the road with us. We believe that when we journey towards God, inevitably we journey towards one another, and we journey with one another. The gift of this life of faith in community is that we always have someone to sing with, to pull a harmony part, if I may, to sing and to hum the melody and to elbow us in the side when we forget how to sing and maybe even remind us of the words to say. We have the songs and the voices surrounding us of those that have gone on before us, those who have sung these songs in the fields, in the factories, in the streets, and their communities. And think of this very room. Among us, we have those who have walked through the pains of addiction. Among us, there are those that have overcome unimaginable circumstances, those who are battling cancer, those who are helping to fight injustice around the corner and around the world. Those who've lived a lifetime of faithful journeying towards God in all the joys and in all the struggles and down all the winding roads and along those long stretches of road where nothing seems to happen and no progress seems to be made. And friends, they are doing it, and they did it by putting one foot in front of the other and trying to do the next right thing. In the Gospel of Luke, there's a story of journeying of two disciples. And they're walking down the road on a journey that was certainly disorienting and uncertain. They're trying to make sense of the life and figure out what to do next after the death of their friend and teacher, Jesus, after Jesus was crucified. And while they are walking down this road, Scripture tells us, Jesus shows up, though the disciples don't see that it's Jesus at first. Jesus shows up on this journey and walks with them, even though they can't recognize him at first. The disciples then recount to this new partner on the journey, they recount the story of Jesus. And Jesus makes no attempt to reveal himself or to admonish them for not recognizing him. Rather, Jesus simply walks with them, asks some really good questions, and gives them space to process and discern what to do next. I think if we think about it, we can be like those disciples, sometimes not even noticing that Jesus is on the road right next to us. Sometimes in this life of faith, when we're searching for God, all we can see is one another. Sometimes it feels like we don't know where this road is going, and we certainly don't know what lies ahead and how long it's going to take us to get there. And in these journeying moments, friends, may we have the courage to lean in towards one another on the road towards God. May we recognize that God gives us bread for the journey and fellow sojourners on the journey to lift us up, to encourage us, and to sometimes carry us when we can't take a step on our own. And may we have on this journey, may we have the eyes to see that God is indeed with us and that we will get there together one step at a time. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.